Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the workshop, you will hear from our panel of expert speakers. We will allow time for questions and comments following the presentation. Instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the workshop, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this workshop is being recorded. I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Senior Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Regina. And I, too, would like to welcome everyone to today's program. And today's program is done in partnership with NeedyMeds. So it's NeedyMeds and Cancer Care Connect Education Workshop. And the title of this workshop is Taking Your Pills on Schedule, Its Importance in Managing Cancer. And today's program is supported by Bristol-Myers Squibb, and I really want to thank them for their support of this program today. Now, we have a lot of you on the call today. There are over 252 participants on the call, and you come from all over the United States, from both urban, rural, suburban, and frontier communities. And we also have international participants from Canada, Egypt, Malawi, Mauritius, Nepal, Nigeria, Taiwan, and the United Kingdom. So it's a global call as well, and we're delighted to have all of you on the call today. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our first speaker. And our first speaker is Dr. Stuart Fleischman. And Dr. Fleischman is former founding director of Cancer Support Services, Continuum Cancer Centers of New York, now part of the Mount Sinai Health System. He's an author, researcher in oncology. And Dr. Fleischman will be addressing an overview of cancer treatments, including clinical trials on adherence, definition of adherence, taking your pills on schedule, and its important role in managing cancer, barriers to taking your pills with practical tips to overcome these barriers, including family, partners, and others, and guidelines to prepare for telehealth, telemedicine appointments, including technology, prepared list of questions, follow-up care, and discussion of open notes. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Fleischman.
Thank you, Dr. Messner, and thank you, everybody, for tuning into this call. This is one of those topics that may seem kind of trivial, but it's actually not. It's has been important for many years and is even more important now, as so many cancer treatments are given orally in pills. And that means that in addition to using them on a daily basis after they're approved, and I'll speak for here in the United States, after they're approved by the FDA, and then marketed to all our, all the providers who treat cancer, it's important to understand that these medicines, unlike a lot of other medicines we take for even for some other chronic conditions, really need to be timed properly, and doses can't be missed. It's really, really important because these medicines can be particularly sensitive if there is a too long a gap in the number of hours between doses, or the doses come too close together, or especially if the dose is forgotten or postponed till the next day. So whether it's on a clinical trial or in just everyday care, this is so important. On a clinical trial, it's even more important because if a dose or a series of doses is being missed, it's possible that when the records are reviewed, it would seem that the medication is not effective for an individual patient in the trial. Yes, it's only one patient in the trial, but if everything is done uniformly in the trial, the results are more meaningful. And that's why this topic is so much more important now than it was before. So when we speak about adherence, we mean taking the right drug at the right dose at the right time. There are fancier definitions than that, but those are the basic elements of adherence. Adherence can be measured in a number of different ways. Could be that somebody actually sees you taking the medication and is able to record that on a log or in an electronic database, especially if you're at one of the treatment centers and taking your first dose of the medicine, let's say, or at home. sometimes we will do a pill count, and your cancer treatment center will ask you to bring in the bottle. And if they know that you're supposed to have gotten 90 pills, let's say, when the treatment started, whether it's on or off study, and there are 75 left, then you've taken 15 over a certain period of time. That can obviously be highly inaccurate, but that's pretty much was a common thing until a long time ago. We could ask you to keep a log, either on a piece of paper, on a chart that's provided to you, or in an electronic database. But that requires a significant amount of effort because you need to be able to access that piece of paper or the database every time that you take a pill, because it is important that the memory that you have is exactly correct as far as the date and the time, and it's hard to do it later and reconstruct it. Some medications, especially during clinical trials, actually we can measure either the amount of drug that's in the body, the amount of the medication that's in the body, or some of the digestive products, which may actually be more important in your treatment than the initial the chemical itself. But not all medications can be measured like that, so that's not a uniform answer to making sure that adherence is correct. We do have what look like regular pill bottles, but there's a computer chip and an electronic cap, and that cap records every time you take the top off of the bottle. That would assume that every time you take a cap off the bottle, you are actually taking a pill out of the bottle and actually swallowing it, and that part the bottle can't verify. In the present and near future, there are a number of other sophisticated things. Actually, a sensor that you may be able to swallow that passes out into your stool. There may be a number of electronic things like that are under development. And I guess one of the last things we can do is actually speak with the pharmacist. If your cancer center is not giving you the medicine, but you're getting it from a pharmacist, to see what the time frame is between the time the initial prescription was dispensed and picked up and the second prescription was dispensed and picked up. For example, if you needed one pill for 30 days and you got a 30-day supply, and if you weren't there on the 30th or 31st day, there may be a problem in getting the medications in all at the right time. As you can guess, there are a number of problems that can occur, both on the pharmacist's end, on the cancer treatment center's end, on patients and the families' end. Everybody has to be in tune with this system and really understand a lot about what's going on. And I think it's our job to be able to do that, really explain exactly what the medication is for, how it's supposed to work, why the time frames between the doses are so important, and how this can help you treat your cancer. Reinforcing the idea that the doses need to be given at the right time, at the right day, and specifically, making sure that if there's any kind of gap in the way that you've been taking the medicines, whether there's a delay for a reason because you think you had a side effect or because you just have forgotten the dose, that can be accounted for, especially on a study. We are concerned that some patients may be taking some supplements or over-the-counter meds or herbal medications that can actually interfere with the absorption and the action of the dose in question. So we really need to double check that is not the case. Some people just are afraid of taking medicines, especially for a life-changing illness like cancer. There's a perception out there that if you treat cancer with a pill, it's not quite as strong or as effective as an intravenous medicine, and that's just clearly not the case. And it falls under the label of misinformation for many treatments. It's something that we really need to work against. And we all do really believe that if you have a family member or friend who's understanding and supportive of the plan, having a coach or someone on your side who can remind you to take your medicines at the right day at the right time at the right dose can be really, really helpful as far as lifting all the barriers. The other speakers are going to talk more about details about this, so I will leave that for now. Dr. Messner also asked us to review the basics of telehealth, especially since the COVID-19 pandemic and continuing now. Some follow-up visits are done on a telehealth basis instead of being in the office. All of us have had a hard time adjusting to these telehealth visits. They may be on the phone. They may be over a computer or a tablet or a smartphone with a video component. And if that's the case, there are a number of things to do to prepare properly. If your provider's office is setting this up, they will let you know what you need to do, if they're going to call you, if you're going to sign up to a website, confirming the time and confirming who's going to be on the call. This is an ideal opportunity. If you have a care partner or family or friends who lives another part of the city, in another city, in another state, or even in another country, if they have access to a Wi-Fi or an internet line, they can be part of your care. And this is something that we found as an advantage, despite all the disadvantages of providing cancer treatment during the worldwide COVID pandemic. Having the device charged properly, being in a quiet place, and making sure once you know how to connect that the connection actually happens, if your provider's office is going to call you or signal you in some way electronically, or you have to call in. Having a list of questions prepared in advance is a good idea, whether the visit is in person or electronic, especially if important things get lost in some of the details of the visit, and you'd like to make sure that your questions are answered, and here a family member or friend can be helpful, and they can actually keep track of the list with you. So having all this planned in advance is really important and very helpful, especially when oral medications are involved in cancer treatment. The other issue that I just want to touch on is that because of the advances in both the legal aspects of providing care as far as portability of information, confidentiality, and privacy of information, many of us who get treated by providers or in health systems that have an electronic record have access to a whole lot more information than we've ever had before. And that includes lab test results, imaging test results, pathology reports. Please, if you get to see those before a provider can explain them to you and go over them with you and ask questions, and to whom you can ask questions, please make sure that you review these with someone who is knowledgeable about cancer. Many of the values that are listed in the abnormal range during cancer treatment are supposed to be abnormal. Many of the descriptions by the radiologist or the pathologist can seem scary or can lead you to an incorrect assumption that things are worse than they actually are. So it is important to go over these with ideally someone from your provider's office. May not be the oncologist. It may be someone else who is well-trained to do this. It may be an oncology nurse, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant in some settings, actually a pharmacist can help with these and interpret these results, but please do so with someone who can actually help you understand what the results are supposed to be, especially for abnormal findings, that those may be actually desirable. With that, I will turn the call back to Dr. Messner and the other speakers. Thank you very much for participating today.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Fleischman. That was really wonderful, and you actually set the stage for today's program, so you really did a fantastic job in just setting the stage. And I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A, so there always are. So thank you so much. And our next speaker is Dr. Lisa Thompson, and Dr. Thompson is a pharmacist, and she's Clinical Pharmacy Coordinator Supervisor, PGY2 Oncology Pharmacy Residency Program Director, Banner MD Anderson Cancer Center. And Dr. Thompson will be addressing reminders from your pharmacy and pharmacist, computer, tablet, and phone reminders, including emails, texts, and apps, planning ahead, lead time in refilling your prescriptions, weekends, travel, and holidays, and communicating with the healthcare team about adherence. It's really my great pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Thompson.
Great. Thank you so much, Carolyn. So, I'm so happy to be speaking with you all today, and thank you so much for this opportunity. As she mentioned, I am a pharmacist, and I do get the pleasure of working directly with patients, which is an amazing thing. So I get to work right hand in hand with our physicians and interact with our oncology patients and talk to them about these things that we're going to be discussing today. So hopefully I can, share some tips and tricks that can help you, improve the quality of those appointments and make sure you're getting the most out of them. I know that's the most frustrating thing or can be a very frustrating thing both for me and family members. You go to an appointment, you think you're prepared, then you leave it and you all of a sudden think of 10 more questions, which I'm not saying I can prevent from happening, but hopefully it'll help you prepare for those appointments and then also help you learn some techniques to help make sure that you're taking your medications on time. So one of the first things that I do want to mention leveraging is your pharmacist and your pharmacy. They often say that the pharmacist is one of the most accessible healthcare providers. You go drive to your local grocery store, and not only is there a pharmacy in that grocery store, but you probably passed, several pharmacies en route from your home to wherever you were going to the grocery store, wherever that may be. So, it's definitely an opportunity. Take advantage of that. Ask that pharmacist questions and things like that to ensure that you are getting your questions answered, and leverage them for support when it comes to how to take your medication. So one great resource can be, asking your pharmacy for if they have different ways that they can provide your medications to you. So yes, we typically get them in little pill bottles, but just like you can request sometimes for them not to have a safety cap or different features like that to make them easier to open, some pharmacies, not all, will actually put your medications in pill boxes for you. That's oftentimes smaller pharmacies, but sometimes they can do that. If the pharmacy itself can't, then you can always purchase a pill box on your own. That's easily found oftentimes at many pharmacies as well. There's a variety of different kinds, whether it be a single row for each day of the week, some of them divided up between, like morning and evening pills or multiple pills a day, depending on what it is that you need. So, go ahead and think through some of those types of things and leverage that to help make sure you're taking them the way they're supposed to be taken. Another thing that you can do is, think about taking pills during certain activities. So, for example, like Dr. Fleischman was talking about, some of our oral chemotherapy agents, you need to take them, with food, and maybe you need to take it in the morning and in the evening. So maybe, remembering that you're going to take this medication every morning with breakfast and then each, evening at dinner time or something like that. So, associating them with certain activities can be helpful as well. As we talked about already in this presentation, doing it, involving your family and friends as well, seeing if they can help you remember as well. So maybe you see even just that friendly reminder from your spouse or somebody that you live with just saying like, oh, hey, did you remember to take your medication this morning? It can be advantageous as well. Some pill bottles actually can have reminders like associated with them. There's sometimes some little devices that you can put on top of your pill bottle that will set off an alarm at certain times of the day. So that can be really helpful too. You can set your own timers and reminders and things like that also. But also, you know, simplifying your medication regimen. If you are having a hard time remembering to take your medications, you know, talk to your providers, talk to your pharmacist and see if there's other dosage forms or different medications or ways that we can kind of reduce the number of medications or reduce the number of times you're taking a medication a day. Now, that's not always possible, but that definitely is something to consider. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, it's definitely a great opportunity to get involved yourself with your healthcare. So, you know, just definitely ask questions and as much as you can. Other packaging that can be helpful too can be like blister packs. So besides just getting a whole pill bottle, sometimes they can be individually packaged, which may or may not be helpful to certain people. But all things to consider and to ask about if you think they might be something that could be helpful for you. You know, like we mentioned too, bringing people to appointments is also very helpful. So that they can hear the information as well. So when you're like, I don't remember what that person said, writing down notes or asking family members who might have been there with you about those questions can be helpful. And then there are lots of different, you know, techniques and devices out there that can help you with reminders, whether it be using your computer or a tablet, a phone, a smartphone, emails, text messages, apps, all different types of things. So it just depends on what your comfort level is with different types of technology, how easy and helpful you think they are for yourself, because what might be helpful to me might not be helpful to my friend. And that's okay. We need to find what works best for us. You know, I'm still a big fan at times of using a paper and pen, and that's totally okay. You know, it's great to leverage technology when it works for you, but if it doesn't work for you, that's okay. Keeping a simple pill diary and just writing down the doses that you took and then jotting down any side effects that you might be having can be really helpful to bring that to a doctor's appointment and then mention like, oh, I missed this dose or I did take all of my medications on time, but I did notice every time after I took my medication, about an hour later, I got an upset stomach or something like that. You know, those are important things to share. There are many different apps out there, and what I would just say, those things tend to can change over time between availability and price and different things like that. So if you just go into like on your, if you have a smartphone, your app store, and search medication reminder, lots of things might come up. There could be, you know, different things that you can find that might be helpful for you, whether it be refill reminders for prescriptions or when to take the medication or helping you record when you took your medication or recording side effects. So it just depends on, you know, what works for you and what things are helpful for you to be recording as well. There are some that I'll mention, but again, totally up to you, but I just did a quick little search and found some things out there. There was one called MediSafe, which is free, and your family can also access the account, so that can also help with, like, engagement. If you want more people involved, you can track medications, you can actually input appointment reminders and things like that. There's some other pill reminders. One's called MedControl or All-in-One. I don't necessarily have a preference for one or another. Like I said, I haven't actually used many of them much myself, so it's really just a matter of figuring out what you feel your needs are and what will work best for you. I will say, you know, even using something as simple as a handheld timer, I personally sometimes for certain things will just set a reminder on my cell phone that at every, you know, time at 8 o'clock, I'm going to take my medication, or, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you know, setting something, you know, you'll be up by 9 o'clock and that's when you need to take your medication. So setting a reminder on your phone or any type of timer type device is perfectly, you know, helpful as well. You can buy just online little handheld timers. And some of those you can set multiple timers on. So if you need to take a pill multiple times a day, you can do that. I believe one of those that you can just buy online that's like a handheld timer is called Tab Timer, and that one you can set up to 8 alarms on it. You know, you can also leverage maybe technology that you have in your house, like, you know, Alexa and Siri and things like that you can set reminders on. You can, you know, like I mentioned earlier, set there's certain caps that you can actually put reminders on that actually, like, might light up or send alerts and things like that too. So just depends on like how many reminders you need, how often you need to be reminded, and if that's even what you need. Sometimes it's writing down side effects that can be the most helpful to your care team in helping you manage your side effects. And then another thing we were going to talk about is just planning ahead. So definitely, you know, very important, especially when it comes to oral chemotherapy agents or even supportive care medications. You know, you don't want to be caught over the weekend without your nausea medication, even though maybe you've been fine and haven't really had any nausea. You know, you never know. And definitely want to make sure that you have what you need at the time that you need it. So one, I would say, is having good awareness of your medication bottles. A lot of times, you know, you can check and you might have refills on your prescription bottle. So that's definitely one thing that's very helpful, because then you can be empowered to refill your own medications just by calling the pharmacy. If you are out of refills, though, that's also a really important thing to note, because it's always a challenge for us as a care team, and I'm sure very frustrating. You know, I've encountered it too as a patient, when you do realize you're running low or out of something, and all of a sudden it's, you know, Friday afternoon or something like that, and then, you know, everyone is trying to get those things taken care of before the weekend. So the earlier you can plan ahead, making sure that you have what you need. You know, I was recently helping my dad out with something, and he was coming to stay with me for about a week, and he had mentioned that he was running low on a medication. And I was like, oh, okay, well, is that something we need to pick up today? You know, how much of it do you have? And I was very, very happy to hear when he told me, he's like, oh, well, I have about 5 days of it. And they said they're sending the prescription over to a pharmacy near your house. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. And it all worked out very well. Sometimes things like that, you know, the best we try, things don't work out the way we hope they will. But that's a great example of what to do. You know, sometimes you can fill prescriptions at a different pharmacy too, if you're, you know, going on a trip or staying with a family member or something like that, all things to consider. But try to plan ahead, especially when it comes to weekends and holidays. And if you're traveling, making sure that you have enough medication for the entire duration of that trip. So, you know, I typically tell people try to plan at least a week in advance. That gives you plenty of time to resolve any issues that might come up with that prescription. But, you know, usually that's also how early you can fill a prescription is usually about 7 days if you are kind of on like a regular monthly cycle with your prescriptions. Another thing you can do, though, is ask for a 90-day supply of your prescription. Maybe we can't do that for an oral oncology agent, but we might be able to do that for a supportive care medication like your nausea medications and things like that. But just having general awareness is very important, and then, you know, being a good communicator as well as to what you need is really helpful for you as a patient and then for us as a healthcare team as well. So I'll wrap up with just mentioning a few things to communicate with regarding adherence to your healthcare team. First of all, ask your provider what's helpful for them. You know, what kind of information do they want from you? Do they want that communication sent via like a patient portal or a phone call? You know, but I would always encourage writing down your questions. You know, that way if you want to call and ask those questions, you know, go for it. If it's something that can wait or it's not super pressing, you know, you can ask it at your next appointment. Sometimes face-to-face is just easier. But make sure you tell your team if you missed a dose. Don't feel like we're going to be mad at you. We need to know, because that's going to potentially impact, you know, how you're feeling, how you're doing, how you're responding to the medication. And it's better for us to know that than not. And it's also better for us to know that because, again, if the regimen that you're taking isn't conducive to your lifestyle, we need to find something that'll work for you so that you can be successful and that we can see, you know, potentially successful outcomes with your care as well. So honesty is truly key there. And so that's basically most of what I wanted to cover today. I hope this helped you guys learn a little bit and learn some tips and tricks about taking your medications on time and some ideas for reminders. And when it comes time for questions, I'm definitely happy to answer any of those questions that you might have. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Thompson. That was really outstanding. And I think you really gave people a very excellent view of the role of the pharmacy and the pharmacist and all those different things that can be done to help remind people about taking their medications on schedule and the timing of them. It's really excellent, very well done. And I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A, so thank you so much. And our next speaker is Ms. Carla De La Porta, and we are partnering with them on today's program. The organization is called MediMeds, and Ms. De La Porta is Director of Education Initiatives for NeedyMeds, and she's going to discuss the free programs and services of NeedyMeds and provide you with information about their helpline as well as their website. It's really my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Ms. De La Porta. And this is just a wonderful resource for all of you. If you haven't used this resource before, definitely this is a good resource to go to.
Thank you so much for the warm introduction. I am honored to be part of this workshop and have the chance to share some information that will help, hopefully be helpful to those joining us today. Again, I'm Carla, and I'm from an organization named NeedyMeds. We're a national nonprofit missioned with educating and empowering those seeking affordable health care. Now, a big obstacle often that we hear about to taking medications on time or being successful when it comes to medication adherence is cost. And that's what NeedyMeds is here for. So if you, a loved one, a patient or client you're helping is struggling with healthcare expenses, we're hoping that you reach out to NeedyMeds. And of course, we encourage those living with cancer to reach out to NeedyMeds, but the support we offer is not limited to that diagnosis. So we encourage everyone to reach out, whether they're uninsured, underinsured, or even insured. And to get connected to healthcare savings resources, you can visit our website, needymeds.org, or reach out to our call center counselors. That phone number I will say, which is 1-800-503-6897, can also, of course, be found on our website, needymeds.org. And I'm happy to share we do also have Spanish-speaking counselors as well. Now, in addition to connecting users with savings resources, we do our best to offer educational resources, so that we can all be better informed healthcare consumers. You can find a ton of educational information on needymeds.org, but I also want to encourage everyone to visit another one of our initiatives and sites, bemedwise.org. Now, that site is dedicated to the safe use, storage, and disposal of meds, and it does have great information about medication adherence, as well as exhaustive information about staying safe in general when it comes to meds. I will stress that all of our resources and reaching out to us, whether it's by visiting our website, needymeds.org, bemedwise.org, or reaching out to our call center, are all completely free and completely anonymous. One thing I want to take a moment to stress is that although our savings resources are national, I wanted to make sure I stress for our international participants that the educational resources you can find on NeedyMeds and BeMedWise are helpful regardless of where you reside, as they do offer universal tips, tools, and resources when it comes to important topics such as medication adherence. Basically, we really want to make sure those living with and caring for someone living with a life-changing diagnosis know that they're not alone and there is support available for them. And I hope everybody will visit needymeds.org, bemedwise.org, and certainly reach out with any questions that I can help you with today or moving forward. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. De La Porta. What a wonderful resource, everybody. And I think that what will happen is at the end of the program, in a couple of days, we'll be sending everybody a SurveyMonkey evaluation. And it is an evaluation of the program, but we also include any of the resources that were mentioned during the program and then some others as well. So you will definitely get all the information about NeedyMeds, how to contact them, their telephone number, their website, and so I know many of you are probably trying to write this down quickly, but you'll be getting all this information as well in a couple of days as well. And I'm just going to say a few words about cancer care. So Cancer Care, also like NEMES, is a national nonprofit organization, and we do provide a number of free programs and services to people living and coping and surviving cancer as well, cancer survivors, as well as the bereaved. And the programs are national in scope, and so what are those programs? So many people in the United States call our HOPE line, 800-813-4673, and those are staffed by our oncology social workers. And when you call that number, the phone is answered by an oncology social worker. And most people, when they call, they identify that they have a particular issue, a question, and that question is addressed. And then the social worker goes through all the different services that we offer. So what are those services? I'm going to try to encapsulate them briefly, and then you can go to our website to see all of them. So our HOPE line, of course, is a great place to just call with a question or to get support at the moment for something. We also offer online support groups, and we have online support groups for cancer-specific types of cancers. We also have online support groups for caregivers, for young adults, older adults, spouses, partners. So for LGBTQ, we actually have support groups for everyone. So when you go to our website, you'll be able to see the different online support groups we have, and you can choose the group that you're most interested in. We also do offer practical, financial, and co-payment assistance, and that has been very helpful to people. And we do also help with food insecurity issues, so people not having funds for food. We do have coping circles, which are support groups run by social workers. And we do have, of course, these workshops, and we do have a huge number of publications and fact sheets that you can access from our website as well. So that gives you a quick synopsis of the programs that we offer, and you can actually go to our website at www.cancercare.org. And now we're going to move on to questions, and I know some of you have already posted questions online, but nevertheless, I'm going to ask Regina to bring all of our speakers on board, and of course, and we'll take as many of your questions as possible. Regina?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will take questions. You may submit questions on the web by clicking Ask a Question. You may also ask a question on the phone line by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad.
And so let's see, we have a number of questions that have been posted already. So let's see what we have here. This is for Dr. Fleischman. No matter what I've done, I can't get into the habit of taking my medication on schedule. I'm curious if there's any research trials on the horizon that are similar to birth control medications, implants, IUDs, for cancer medications, or are there any out there now?
Oh, good question. I guess one of the things on the horizon is being able to substitute intravenous treatments with oral medicine or oral treatments, which I guess most people think are a whole lot easier to take. As far as implants or things like that, there are a few studies. I know of one in colon cancer over the years where actually you had a medication that was given by a pump that's about the size, smaller than a cell phone, that you would carry with you, that's connected to your body with a catheter. Those are sometimes advisable, but certainly not for all cancers and all people. But I guess the whole purpose was to make sure that an oral delivery or a pill or a capsule would be a whole lot more acceptable than any other device or implant. And I think that's the purpose behind a lot of the push to oral medicines. And some of them can be and are as effective as intravenous, which is truly amazing.
Excellent. Thank you. And a question for Dr. Thompson. I to take my medications on schedule, it means I have to take it during work. I'm in the office twice a week, and I feel self-conscious taking it in front of my coworkers. Any advice? Dr. Thompson, any thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So with that, I guess I would say, it just depends. That's definitely a very personal thing, and I can totally understand that. So I guess some suggestions or some thoughts that I would have around that, which might already be things that you've already considered. So I don't know if these may or may not work, but, you know, I guess it depends on what type of a medication it is. So if it's, you know, a tablet, is it something that you can, you know, step away from where you're working around other people to go, you know, take it in a more private place? You know, are you in a cubicle where you can get some privacy, or are you, you know, in a larger group setting? You know, can you sneak off to a break room? You know, that's hit or miss for whether other people might be in there or not. You know, if it's an injectable medication, that can be a challenge too. You know, you might be able to find a private place to go and do that, whether it's a restroom or, again, maybe like a private room or something like that. You know, I can see feeling self-conscious, you know, depending on what type of a medication it is, or what it looks like. Honestly, people might not, you know, have any idea what it is that you're taking, but I definitely could see where you could feel that way. And if people, you know you have a certain diagnosis or something, you know, I can see where assumptions could be made and things like that. But those would be some of my suggestions, is just trying to find a more private place that you can do it. You could probably ask, you know, if it helps, if it's something where you can't really, you know, could you ask your leader if there is a place that you can go, or, you know, can you do it during a break time or something like that, time your breakout in accordance with when your medication is due to be taken. So those are some of my thoughts that I have to try and kind of find some opportunities there. Good question.
Thank you so much. And a question for Dr. Fleischman. If I'm going to be traveling somewhere that has a 3-hour time difference, do I need to adjust my medication schedule? Will it affect my treatment?
Oh, what a great question. This comes up periodically, and it's amazing that people can actually travel during cancer treatment instead of being tethered to their treatment facility with an intravenous. So I think it's a very, very forward-thinking issue. Sometimes you should take it at the time that your body is used to before the time change, or sometimes after. The best thing to do is to ask the oncologist or oncology nurse. They, if it's a drug on a clinical trial, they may actually have to check with the sponsor to see what the sponsor would agree to, and probably the pharmacist on the team who designed the study would be the best one to ask. But they would be the one to connect you.
Okay, thank you. So this is for Dr. Thompson. I take my medication regularly, twice a day, morning and evening, but it's not always exactly 12 hours apart. Can this have a negative effect?
Generally speaking, I would say no. You know, I would ask your healthcare provider. The ideal thing that I usually tell patients is, you know, we want it to be as close as possible. You know, if it is 12 hours apart, I usually tell people to try to target, you know, about, you know, if you can't take it, you know, at 9 and 9 or something like that, try to at least shoot for a target a 10-hour difference, which is still pretty close. You know, doing the best that you can. We don't want it too close together, of course, but, you know, 12 hours is a pretty big gap. So, you know, I would say, you know, in that kind of a time frame, you probably have an hour or two of wiggle room for not seeing, you know, more side effects is one of our bigger concerns. If you take them too close together, you can see more side effects potentially. You know, like we were talking about too, if you spaced out too far, then does that impact, you know, the medication's efficacy and things like that? You know, it's hard to exactly say, but I would say usually 10 hours is about what I tell patients to target if it's a every 12-hour medication, if they can't take it in a 12-hour interval.
Excellent. Thank you. And a question for you, Dr. Fleischman. What if I've been feeling completely fine? Can I just stop taking my medication, or vice versa? If I start to feel worse, should I stop taking it?
Also a good question that comes up all the time. Neither. some of the treatments are actually adjuvant or helper after radiation or surgery where all of the cancer, according to the pathologist, has been removed, and this is prevention for future spread, and you feel fine after you've recovered from the surgery or the radiation therapy. So taking it when you're fine may be the actual best time for you, and you shouldn't feel it. If you're having side effects, obviously speak with your treatment team. They, I bet, have experience in making suggestions about what you can do, whether that's an additional medicine to cover the side effect, which seems kind of backwards, but that's often what we have to do, or any sort of change in how you're taking it, or when, or before food, and all the things that were mentioned before. They would be the best ones to judge.
Excellent, thank you. And then for Dr. Thompson, although I took my last treatment pills a few months ago for my cancer, I do take several prescriptions. Sometimes I'm lax about the timing, and this workshop has made me more aware of the importance of precise adherence. It has made me a better patient going forward. Do you want to just comment on this?
Yeah, great. No, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, I mean, with any medication, you know, I think like Dr. Fleischman was talking about as well, you know, we're probably the most concerned or the ones we want to be the most timely with are those oral oncology agents. But all of our medications are important, you know, not to get too scientific and things like that. But, you know, they stay in the body a certain amount of time. They have a certain half-life. So their strength kind of diminishes over time and their efficacy. And that's why they're dosed in certain intervals. So, you know, it is important, you know, no matter the medication, for a consistency in your body for the support that medication is providing to take it on time, whether it's your cancer medication or a blood pressure medication or a diabetes medication or whatever the case may be, or a supportive care medication for nausea or pain management. So I'm glad that you found this to be helpful and others have as well. And hopefully that also empowers you to share some of your knowledge with friends and family that it can benefit as well. Thank you.
Excellent, yes. And for Dr. Fleischman, I am not sure if my side effects are from my medication. Should I reach out to my pharmacist or my doctor about this?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the middle of the question.
So I'm not sure if my side effects are from my medication. Should I reach out to my pharmacist or my doctor?
Yes and yes. I would think those are much better sources of information than looking it up online, or even the information that you're given, because the information that you're given that has lists of side effects are sometimes there because they're reported, not necessarily because anybody associated with the development of the drug or the production of the drug thinks that they really are an actual side effect of the drug. It's kind of like taking, I guess it's a non-cancer example, but there are anti-inflammatory eye drops. And if you look on the package insert, it says side effect is inflammation, which technically doesn't really make sense. But those things happen all the time because of the way our system works. So instead of relying on the written information as the primary source or stuff you read online, yes, ask the pharmacist. Yes, ask your provider.
Excellent. This will be for Dr. Thompson. My treatment has been making me groggy. Sometimes I can't remember if I have taken my medication or not. What should I do in this scenario? Should I make an appointment with my doctor? What should I do? Pharmacist?
Yeah, I would, you know, I would definitely talk to your healthcare team about it. So I would reach out to your provider and express, you know, that, especially if it's causing you to be forgetful about things. I would definitely express that to your, you know, care team and see if there's any changes or suggestions that they can make. With regards to then, you know, kind of like remembering if you took it or not, you know, I would definitely try to come up with some kind of a tool for, like, once you take the medication to mark down, you know, immediately that you did take the medication. So whether that's app that you end up downloading, or if it's just a piece of paper where you jot down, or a calendar you pull out with, you could just print off from the computer, or, you know, buy at even a dollar store, or, you know, any place where you just, you know, jot down that you took your medication. If it's a multiple times a day, a medication, you know, once you take it, maybe put down, you know, like morning or afternoon, or create little boxes for you to check off for when you did take it, just so you can be monitoring that adherence piece of it. But if you are struggling with it, I would definitely talk to your physician about it. If you can't get in with your provider for a while, you know, then I would reach out to your pharmacist or somebody like that, you know, maybe who's more accessible or, you know, closer by that you can talk to. But I would reach out to your physician about your challenges with the therapy. Thank you.
And do you, in terms of pill boxes, are those kind of practical devices, do those work too, or do people sometimes forget if they check it, even if they look at it? I'm not sure if they look at it, whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, a pill box definitely could be helpful as well, you know, just making sure, as long as you feel comfortable and, you know, set it up at a time when you're, you know, not, you know, feeling groggy or something like that, or have a friend or family member help you set up the pill box. You know, it's definitely another technique, as well as if you feel like you don't feel comfortable setting up your own pill box, you know, ask somebody to help you potentially with that as well. But the pill box definitely could help, at least from a remembering standpoint, if you go back and look at it, as long as you're looking at, you know, the correct day and stuff like that, it should be able to help you as well, if, especially if your challenge isn't so much remembering to go do it. It's more so like you remember and then maybe you do it and then you don't remember if you did it or not. So that would definitely be a potential assistance as well. Great point.
Thank you. And a question for Dr. Fleischman. So this is a question for Dr. Fleischman. As a long-distance caregiver, what are some recommendations you have for me to help my dad in adhering to his medications? I call him, but he doesn't often pick up the phone.
I guess it depends upon how sophisticated you and your dad are with electronics. I do know that in some of the phone systems, the two of you can share a calendar, and that calendar can have an automatic alarm programmed into it that you would be able to monitor. That would be one way I would do it. Not picking up the phone is certainly can be a problem, more than just taking a pill or not. Perhaps maybe a standard scheduled phone call at a certain time of the day that you would both agree to, and that could be a better reminder than an ad hoc a call that may or may not be expected.
Excellent. Thank you. And Ms. Dillip, there's questions about just the cost of medication, and if you could, again, because that is an issue for some people who may have limited coverage, or if you could just kind of summarize some of the things that the needy meds provides that really could be a great help to people who really just the cost of the medication may be one of their biggest barriers.
Sure, I would be happy to. Thank you for that call and the opportunity to share some resources NeedyMeds has. Before I answer that, though, I would love to take a moment to just sort of piggyback on the last question regarding the long-distance caregiver. I can tell you myself and my sister have personally been in that situation before, so extending my empathy to you. And a recommendation to visit bmedwise.org. Believe it or not, under the Use Medication Safely tab, we actually have pages on that site dedicated specifically to medication management for older adults, as well as medication management for caregivers. So I just want to direct you there. Sure, on bmedwise.org, like many websites, there's a navigation tab at the top. And you'll find a tab for Use Medicine Safely. Under there, there are actually specific pages for medication management for older adults and medication management for caregivers. So check that out.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So
we'll also take take that link and send it out to people as well.
Perfect. Now, regarding the cost of medications as well as the resources MediMeds provides, one sort of maybe anecdotal or statement that I can say is one of the things we have seen is that cost of medication seems to affect all populations. And maybe a while ago, people were only concerned for medication costs if they were uninsured. But we are definitely finding that there are larger and larger populations under what we refer to as the underinsured, which means that individuals, their family, and their loved ones may have medication, but it doesn't quite cover all of their needs. That's why when I explain what MediMeds is, I recommend that regardless of whether you're insured, uninsured, or underinsured, reach out to MediMeds, because our goal here is to connect our users with cost-saving medications that will fit their needs. If you go to MediMeds.org, you will find a dozen categories or so of ways that we can help you save on medications and other healthcare costs. And the reason I say and other healthcare costs is because oftentimes our cost doesn't fall neatly under the umbrella of medication. Sometimes you may need help affording medical equipment, for example. So if you visit the healthcare savings tab, you will find help to save on prescriptions. You will find a list of national free, low-cost, or sliding scale clinics, a category for coupons, copays, and rebates, diagnosis-based assistance programs. We have an online destination for those that have still been affected have been affected by the COVID-19 coronavirus and they're struggling financially. So you can check out that resource. We also connect our users with assistance for medical transportation costs. We have retreats, camps, recreational programs, educational scholarships. We can connect our users to government healthcare programs, which are usually found according to the state you live in, and we do offer the MediMeds drug discount card if none of those other healthcare savings options work for you. I'm also proud of the connection and partnership we have made with national nonprofits. The reason I'm bringing that up is because we have accepted the hard truth that unfortunately MediMeds cannot be the answer that everyone is looking for. So if we can help you, we will do our best to refer you to one of our nonprofit partners that can. And I hope that helps.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you so much. And it's a wonderful resource. It's a wonderful program today. And I'm just going to ask each of our speakers to just provide a takeaway for today's program. So I'll start with Dr. Fleischman, Dr. Thompson, and Ms. Della Porte. If you just want to each give a sentence or two takeaway of what you'd like people to take away from today's program.
Sure. Taking your medications at the right time and the right day and the right dose is really important. And you're not facing this alone. There are a number of human as well as electronic helpers that can come to your side and make sure that you're able to take your medications when they work best.
Excellent, thank you. And Dr. Thompson?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, leveraging your resources, whether that be, you know, family, technology, you know, a pen and paper, pill boxes, just know that there are a lot of resources available. And, you know, try something. And if it's not working for you, try something different. It's not like just because you tried something and it doesn't work, there's not a better option out there for you. So just, you know, make sure you're an advocate for yourself and try different methods to find out what works best for you. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you. And Ms. Della Porta?
Thank you. I hope that people simply walk away knowing that they themselves, their loved ones, or patients or clients they're helping are not alone. They can reach out to both MediMeds.org, BeMedWise.org, and really a number of nonprofit organizations such as Cancer Care that are here to make sure that we can support you during your healthcare journeys.
Oh, thank you. I just want to thank our speakers. They've been phenomenal. And I want to thank our participants for asking such great questions that really enabled our speakers to address your questions and concerns. And we hope that you will take the information that you've learned today back to Treating Healthcare Team with your questions and concerns. Both your healthcare team both includes your oncologists, physicians, the oncology nurses, oncology social workers, patient navigators, financial navigators in your institution as well, but also to reach out to both MediMeds and Cancer Care as well for concerns you may have. Most importantly, as we conclude the program today, I'm going to reiterate what Ms. De La Porta said. We do not want any one of you to feel that you're alone. You're now in a community of support. There's lots of support for you, and please take advantage of that. And I think has been said by Ms. De La Porta, if one thing doesn't work, try another and another. I think Dr. Thompson, I think Dr. Fleischman, everyone has been saying to you, no matter if one thing doesn't work, keep trying all these other suggestions that we've made. Again, I want to thank you all for your participation today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop. You may now disconnect. Everyone have a great day.